Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Martin Felsleitner is an information designer living in Vienna. As he undertakes all his daily errands on foot, he knows his neighbourhood intimately. However, Vienna isn't just for residents. It attracts day trippers and is an international tourist destination. I walked with Martin through the centre of the city on a sunny October day as he explained to me how he came to design the city's waymarking system and how, when providing information to those on foot, less is more. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, getting our way through Vienna.
The layout of Vienna is really quite user-friendly because you have a downtown city, which is also in Vienna is called the inner city. It's very compact and it is enclosed by the ring. That's the center. Mm-hmm. It's almost a circle. In the middle there's St. Stephen's Cathedral. Fantastic. So wherever you are in this area, you can't be wrong.
Yeah? Well, what we found the other night was we couldn't actually see St. Stephen's Cathedral because we were in such a tight network of alleys that we couldn't see where St. Stephen's Cathedral was. But it's important. This is about how people work out how to get around a city. Is that you need a point of orientation? Is that what you're saying?
That's true, yeah. We also found it in our projects later on, when we asked tourists about how to find your way in Vienna and what kind of information they need on the map. And they said, we always relate to St. Stephen's Cathedral. So on any information point, there's always a hint and a link to St. Stephen's Cathedral. Because then they know, oh, I'm in the city center. And then they know in which direction they go out to find the place where they are.
So tell the listeners now, what is your project? Why is there a need? And what have you been doing in Vienna?
Thanks, this is a global city, so there's a need, first thing. The other thing is that Vienna is working like a village, or multiple villages. So everyone is at home in his village, which is called in Viennese Kretzel, and he knows everything about his Kretzel. The neighborhood really works even better than on the countryside. If you don't move your car, or if you haven't seen in your coffee shop for 2 or 3 days, people asking whether you are sick or whether you moved or something like that. So this neighborhood really works very well. And people are familiar with the neighborhood, but they have no idea from any other part from the city. And it was also interesting for me because I grew up on the countryside. Mm-hmm. And on the countryside, you live just by school, by shopping, by the doctors and all the infrastructure. You have an area of 40 square kilometers, which is your place where you hold off all the things you need and you consume or you are affected. In Vienna, the area is very, very small. It's 2 or 3 streets, and some streets you never cross because you say, oh, I don't know how the people there are over.
Okay.
If you ask a Viennese about, do you need something like this? What for? Huh? Because he never moved out of his village. Huh? And we had some feedback of this information system, which is more or less very similar to Legible London, mm-hmm. but in the translation and interpretation, of course, for the Viennese setup. And one of the best feedback and remarks we got is, how stupid to make it here.
Oh, really?
How stupid. Because I need it over there, but not here. And this was the biggest compliment, because, of course, if you're familiar, it doesn't help anyway. But for all of those who commute, who have to work, who shop for hours, or just simply pass through, that's, of course, beneficial for them. So that is the one point. One of the obstacles in mid-Europe is that somehow, I don't know what's in UK, but it seems to be different in the UK. North up is a paradigm. If a map is correct, then it's of course north up. Yeah. People who are a little bit educated and with a tendency to techniques, they say, well, of course I can turn the map in my head.
This is where it's getting to a very interesting point. Yeah, so keep going. Yeah, are we going straight?
Yeah. Okay.
we're willy-nilly just crossing roads. This is very good, you know, because I'm not paying any attention at all because I'm holding the microphone.
Me neither. But by the way, that's an important thing. Also in wayfinding, navigation, and also safety on street, we say that listening is looking to the back.
Ah, yes. That's a good way of describing it.
I'm really a little bit scared about so many people plug their earphones in because they lose the contact with the surrounding on that.
Indeed.
And the eyesight is not enough. We can cross the street easily because we can hear, is there something approaching or not. If this is limited, then it really gets a little bit dangerous.
Who brought this project to fruition? Because you're not just lifting Legible London and putting it in Vienna. There's a bit more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, the concept is fascinating, and you always have this issue that once you are in a surrounding which you are not familiar with, you easily get lost. One of the questions is how quick you can take up an understanding for how the city works and how it's structured and what the layout is. One, you have built up your mental map, it's easy to navigate. Nevertheless, you are very often in situations that hand maps are so crowded that it's very, very difficult to really find the point you're looking for. Everything is on, so there's the saying that you can't see the wood anymore because so many trees are over there. So
less is more.
Always, yes. And this is also one of the big intelligence in these maps. It's not about putting the things on, but it's about taking them out, so that the map gets really clear, structured, and easy to understand on the first sight.
So it's a case of making sure you have the information on which is relevant to the person on foot.
It's not a map for everybody, but it's a map for walking. The crucial thing for walking is that the first step is the most important, the direction, because nothing is as boring and annoying than going the same way back. It's not that annoying if you go by bike. It's no issue by car, unless there's a lot of one-way systems. But in walking, you're really annoyed on that.
That's very true, isn't it? If you make that error, you go, you lose the time to catch up. Exactly. I always used to joke about that. If you were on a bicycle and you were late for lectures when I was a student, as long as you live far enough away, you always had more time to catch up.
Yeah.
But if you live close by, you had no time to catch up, so you were late.
Yeah. This is a very nice example, because one of the fascinating things of walking is that it's so reliable. No garbage truck or whatever can block you. If something blocks it, then it's really major accident in the city, then everything is blocked too. So the nice thing is, once you know and you have a feeling about distances and walking, then you can rely on that and you never will miss your train again. This knowledge about these time frames you can use enforces you, of course, to walk, because it's more calculable, it's more efficient than having inside your planning this into insecure factor of, is it 10 minutes or is it 25?
So how did you get involved in this, and what has been your role?
Yes, I was educated in business administration. I also made my master's in business administration. And then I was in a Japanese company, and it was about teaching new technology to salespeople, which is the toughest thing, because salespeople know everything. They spend almost maximum 10 seconds to understand something or not. If you're not able to catch them in 10 seconds, you are lost. And I just left the university and entered in this product management department. And the salespeople talked to me and said, Martin, what we need is an A4 sheet with three lines. You know, more, we are not ready to read. A process with people in sales. We learn to reduce the information and, of course, to seduce them to deal with new things. And it was more difficult the more successful they had been, because why should they change anything if they are so successful? Why should they listen? So we learned to reduce, and make it nicer, and more impact. That's the reason why we very often use a metaphor, which we call the espresso. And espresso is the Italian espresso. It's not the Café Americano, which means it's very, very strong, best beans, which means once you deal with data or whatever context you are, the content has to be excellent. If the beans have no quality, you can't expect too much from the coffee. Second, short. If it takes half an hour to explain the escape way, it's too late. Huh? It really has to be one shot. Bam! Huh? Third one, simple. If you need the big machine for 1,000 euro to make a coffee, nice, but too complicated. You need this mocha machine put on the oven and it's done. And fourth, it's the aesthetics, which is the sugar in the espresso, making it sweet and, of course, appealing and attractive. So, a guideline, when we talk about presenting information, that strong, short, simple, but nevertheless very, very sweet, pleasing, appealing, seducing, yeah.
Okay, so that has been applied to wayfinding your
way. Yes, also in wayfinding, yes.
But that hasn't yet explained how you went from there to being the man involved in wayfinding.
Because we came in the discipline of information design. And in this community of information design, we also have been in touch with Tim Fendley and the Legible London concept. And we had been fascinated by that. And so we started in 2009 to offer this concept to the city of Vienna.
Who were we at that stage?
That's the company.
Okay.
We founded our company in 1999. The first step was to explain salespeople around Europe that the black and white copier standalone will become a color printer in the network.
Right.
And that the cost per copy is now 100 times more expensive, but nevertheless for the customer more efficient. So it was this change of paradigms. Why can something which is obviously so much more expensive at the very end a real benefit and a good investment for everybody? It's not a long time ago, but at this time nobody could imagine that every printer is in color. Yeah? This was so luxury. Yeah? Now it's done. And in this information design, we had been in touch with the city of Vienna for infographics and things like that. And then there was a project about a neighborhood which has to be developed. And the funny thing was that the neighborhood was mentally so far away from very famous and good neighborhoods, but everyone in his mental map thought that it's far, far away and not so close as it actually is. And we have seen that this legible city concept is a fantastic bridge, because if you can show, hey, this next neighborhood is just 5 minutes walk,
yeah,
and you need some confirmation that you're still on the right track. And so we started to introduce this concept. And then a long time was absolutely no reaction. And then we are now at the Marehilfer Street, which is famous because there was even a voting with the people living here, whether it should be a pedestrian street as it is now, or staying as a very normal street with cars. Mm-hmm. The decision was quite sharp, because only 53% said, yes, let's go for the pedestrian. And now this was a good starting point to even start in Vienna a legible city concept. And so they remembered us, and this was the point when we came in.
Fantastic.
And offered the system.
You've been trying to develop it and implement it since 2009? Is that what you're
saying? In 2009 we offered the idea.
Right.
In 2013 we got the contract. Then we had 1 year of development, and now we are already in the second year of implementation.
Now, I came along and watched a very quick pecha-kucha of what you were doing, and it was interesting because you were also inviting people to make suggestions about what should be on the signs.
Yes.
So, obviously my listeners haven't heard that, so maybe you can just praise that.
We have been in the lucky situation to convince the city to start with a pilot, not on the main street here, but 500 meters in one of the side streets. It was helpful that the mayor of this district is from the Green Party, so he encouraged the walking philosophy. And we had been able to build up the first pilot 3 months before the main rollout on the main street. Once this was done, we had several prototypes, from very, very nice to very, very bold, like a tank, and finally in a very nice shape. We also had the chance to test everything, any element of this pillar.
We call them monoliths.
Then as a designer, you're always in the situation that if you as a designer propose something, then crazy designers say. But if you say that, well, it's not me, but the citizens said it might be a good idea, then the city government is going to listen. So basically, if the structure, the concept, the methodology is clean, we don't care whether it's blue or red. If it's more convenient and easier to understand for the people, then let's go for the color which fits and it's familiar. And if they say, well, we need the St. Stephen's Cathedral for orientation, then we will find a way to make it part of the system. And the very charming point was that we even could motivate the Wiener Linien, which is Vienna Transport, to change the bus icon. Because one of the pedestrians say, well, you have so nice buses, why do you still use a pictogram from the 50s, 60s? Use a contemporary one. And within 2 hours, the city administration decided, now we go for the new icon. But not because designers said, use the new icon, but because the pedestrian said. So for design, it's a very convenient point of discussion, negotiation. You can say, well, it's not us, people say, do we follow or not? No? And then it's easy.
Okay, so we're just about to approach one, and we've got a couple of buskers with horses' heads on playing accordion, and they may be a bit noisy.
Yes.
So it's a good thing we've stopped here. Were you involved in working out where to position the pillars, as well as what's on the pillars?
Yes.
So this one is now set back quite a long way from the road. That was chosen as an area where people would pass it.
First of all, it's the exit of the underground.
Ah, yes, okay.
So just in front of that. Then you pass along the museum's quartier on your left-hand side.
Yeah.
And then it's the starting point of the Marie-Hilfer Street. And this Marie-Hilfer Street is 1.6 kilometers.
Yeah.
And connects the city with the train station to the west. And on this way, we have 9 pillars of that, 9 monoliths.
There was another project that you were talking about, which I couldn't come to, which was about the 8-minute neighborhood.
That 8 minutes is a distance you are willing to walk.
Right.
So it's also the background for our maps. We offer that the circle, the radius, is 8 minutes from where you are now.
Right.
This is seems to be a walking distance. Whereas even the risk I'm lost, it's bearable and acceptable. In this 8 minutes project, all the navigation systems you find in the cloud, in the web, is mostly from A to B. Mm-hmm. The big difference, if you link it with a physical analog system in the street, is you are already there.
Of course.
It's simple, but it makes a big difference. It's not always that I want to escape from where I am, but now I am at B, and what now? As it is an analog monolith, of course you always have the complaints, why not digital, why not the touch screen, and bum bum bum. And of course there are many reasons why it's not touch screen and why it's not digital, but it is a stable information in the street. And then the question was, how can we find the easiest, simplest, stablest way to connect the digital world with the analog world? At the end, we came up with image recognition technology. So if you scan the image, the map on the monolith, just by this, you get additional layers of information. Very simple, very easy. As we assume now, but we're in a very early stage of our implementations and testing, it's one of a very surprising thing that you see something in front of you, and like Google Glass, but even more simpler, there's something more on that. We think that this is a way to make analog information linked to real, the richness, but also the actual information in the web. Also that we found out that, of course, for tourists and for others, you want to find your way and you're exploring the city. For commuters and for the local neighborhood people, in most of the cases, it's about assurance that they're still on the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
So the time you spend in front of the maps is sometimes just 2 and 3 seconds. Just to say, oh, I'm not lost now. I'm still on the right track, and it's a very useful confirmation on that. So if someone is close to that, we can offer information real in the local neighborhood, which means you are already there. If there's a cafe because you have missed the bus, it's 2 minutes and not somewhere else. There are a lot of situations where proximity is more important or has a higher relevance than the criteria why you choose a cafe. The cafe which is 15 minutes away means it's only 1 minute to enjoy your coffee. The coffee 2 minutes away means at least you can spend 15 minutes reading the newspaper or enjoying the coffee itself. So proximity is...
That's very important to the very
important. Absolutely right, yeah.
But now when I'm in the street, have you set them up so that when I'm standing at one, I can see the next one?
They are marked on the map.
Ah, okay.
On the map, there's always an indication where's the next one.
Well, the city hasn't been under any kind of commercial obligation where they need to mark certain buildings that are highlighted and others that aren't.
That's a battle. That's an everyday battle. Yeah. Because it's so tempting. It could be financed by local advertisements. Huh? It seems to be a bright idea. But either the city has the responsibility to care about you and tell you where you are, or it does not take this responsibility. It's interesting is that on the highways, we never have the idea that the signs on the highways might be sponsored by McDonald's, BP or Shell. Huh? We understand that it's a blue sign, hopefully readable by 100 miles per hour and bad weather. And we are happy that there's no commercials on that, irritating and reducing the readability and legibility of it. So why for the pedestrians? Doesn't make sense. Because if you put McDonald's over there, McDonald's can decide, or any other company, whoever it is, to move on the next corner. Then you have to change all the maps. All the maps. Also in the concept, it's important that everyone here has the responsibility to communicate its address. And the city has the responsibility that you find the address.
Right.
But not the event, not the entertainment, not the subject. That's the reason why one of the most important things is the index.
What I usually do now is I usually ask the person I'm interviewing to think of a walk that they would like to recommend.
Just again, for my own daily life, with this system I discovered that the train station is only a 14-minute walk. Up to then, it was always two stations with the undercount, which seemed so far. Now I know it's 14 minutes. That's close enough. So really observe yourself, walk to the main destinations you use in your daily life and watch for yourself and track it how many minutes it really takes. And you will be really surprised how short it is. And on the other hand, once you walk, you're in touch with the local community, you know the people, you greet, you have a coffee with them, you have a chat, you really get more familiar with your own home place. That's the thing. There's no place where you don't have the same experience. Sometimes a little bit more dense, sometimes not. But basically, once you walk, you discover.
Great recommendation. Okay. Maybe we could say you're quite an advocate for walking out and walking in public space.
Yeah.
An advocate for public space.
We have to use public space. It's also better to have your coffee in the coffee shop than at home, because this gives you a chance for interaction. Don't complain afterwards that the coffee shop has closed when you never have been there. Then you're going to miss it. We have to live on the street. I know it's quite cold, even in Austria compared to Sicily, but also in London it's quite cold. Mm. But nevertheless, the more we spend outside, the more we enjoy it, the more we know people, the more interactions we have, and the more safe the environment gets.
That's true. That's very true. The more you pick up and develop trust because you see people and recognize them. Yeah, no, it's very true.
Vienna is a very safe city, but also when the neighborhood works, children at 5, 6 years can go on their own to school. They don't have to get there by car or something like that. Even in any case of emergency, you can every time you go into this shop or in that cafe and people will care about you. And this helps. This gives trust in the environment. This gives trust also in how to deal with unfamiliar things. And I think that's one of the main things that, and it's also always about information design, is how quickly I get familiar with unknown things. how easy it is for me to take up something new and to understand. And so there's one question you might ask me, again about philosophy. There are two ways for signing or for information design. Either leading, which means now you turn to the right, now to the left, now 2 seconds, 1 second, 50 meters, now you turn to the left and now you have no idea where you are. Or you really are enabling, because people are smart, people want to understand. We have to build on this intelligence, on the smart people, and we just give a little bit of guidance, a little bit of education. It's how quick can we educate someone to have a picture, orientation, and understanding of a legible surrounding.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Martin Felsleitner. If you have any views on this interview or any other walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Artvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of EC Tronic.